Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I've got five misnomers about life to share with you today. Five misnomers about life, and they all come from our text. A misnomer is something that's not true, right? Five of them that I see in the text that we could be confused about life. But maybe we'll get some clarity from God's word, from the gospel today, from Matthew 25. There was a man who went on a journey, and he entrusted to his servants his property. To one he gave the 5 talents, to one he gave the 2 talents, and the other he gave 1 talent. You remember? And in the end he came back. There was kind of a reckoning, wasn't there? A judgment. What did you do with the talents? Well, here are my 5 misnomers from that text, the parable of the talents today. The first: to everyone is given the same amount of talents. Is that true? No, it's not, is it? You heard it in the text. One got 5 talents, one got 2 talents, only one got 1 talent. What should we say about that? Is God partial to some? Is it not fair that God doesn't give everybody the same amount of talents? Talents in the scriptures was money, right? This money that's invested with the bankers. We can think of talents that way. Not everybody has the same amount of money in the world. Some people have a lot of money. Some have a little money. Abraham had a lot of money. King David, Solomon had a lot of money. They're not condemned for their money. It's the love of money that's evil, that, right? But even if we think of talents in money sense, or even talents in a broader sense of what we can do, juggling, I can juggle, you can't juggle, right? Or can you? Maybe you can. But talents that way too. Not everybody has the same amount of talents. Some have more talents than others. Should we say God's not fair? No, it says in the text that God gave each according to his ability. Each according to his ability. There's something unique about you, the way God created you. And then he gives you each according to his ability. I think God is fair in that sense. The parable teaches us how fair God is. In ways that we maybe cannot see and understand. And sometimes we wonder, oh, I'm jealous. How come I don't have more? Maybe we should realize that God gave you according to your ability. Take care of what you have. Be content. Make what you have grow. If that be God's will in your life and what you can do, make it grow. Don't look to what everyone else has to judge your value and your purpose in life. He's more talented than I. You got more money. Look to God's word and find your value and your purpose in life, your calling. It's not looking at your neighbor and what they have or don't have or what you don't have. Look at God's word. Establish your value, your purpose in life from God's word, not from your talents. Misnomer number 2. God judges you on how talented you are compared to other people. Is that a misnomer? Yeah. God is not the same kind of judge that you find on America's Got Talent. You know, that's where they judge different people. They come up on stage and they perform and they think, oh, that was pretty good. Well, we're going to get rid of you and, oh, we'll keep you. And in the end, everybody votes. Everybody decides, that's the most talented person. We're going to give that person $1 million. God's not like that. He doesn't judge you based on, well, who's got the best talent in the whole world? He's not concerned about that. He judges each one according to your abilities and to your talents. That's a different kind of judge. Men are perfectly capable of judging themselves, subjectively, to be sure. But God doesn't judge like that. He's a different kind of judge. He judges each individually. We're all equidistant to God by creation. Each fallen away, equidistant that way too. But in the end, God redeems all and he judges all individually. Just on what he's given you, not on what everybody else has and can do. Maybe that brings some comfort to you. You don't have to look again to your neighbor to determine your value and your worth with God. He's not judging you based on your neighbor. He judges you based on you and your talent and what you did with it. And when we think a little bit about this text, a little bit kind of a law here, isn't it? That we say, well, what is my talent and what am I doing with it? Have I done anything? You've heard it said, whoever has the most toys wins. Of course, that's not true. You know that. But neither is whoever has the most talents, if you think of it more broadly. That's not true either. In the text, the one with 5 talents became 10 talents, and he entered into the joy of his master. So did the one who only had 2 become 4 talents. He goes into the joy of his master. Maybe we should just rejoice in the truth that talents multiply rather than be jealous of other people's talents and abilities given them by God. I guess when it comes down to it, don't be jealous, right? Just rejoice in your talent and rejoice in other people's talents and let it be. Don't get jealous. Number 3, third misnomer. God is a hard man. So, I will give him back exactly what he has given to me, and we'll be settled. I'll give him no more and give him no less than what he's given me. Isn't that what happened to the guy who was just given 1 talent? God does not like to be known as a hard man. Especially if that's your excuse to do nothing with the talents he's given you. And even if it were true, if God were a hard man, what? Therefore, you should take whatever God has given you and bury it in the sand and just wait and wait and wait. And then when God comes back, you just give it back to God. See, God, we're even. You gave me this. I gave it right back to you. We're even. Even Stephen. Is that what God wants to be known as? A hard man? He gathers where he doesn't sow? The problem is this. We, as God's creatures, fallen, we put the worst construction even on God's motives. That's what that man with the 1 talent did. He put the worst construction on God's motives. God isn't a hard man. He's not selfish and demanding. He's loving. And he wants back that which was lost, but was his to begin with. In the beginning, everything was his, right? Perfect fellowship, and then God had to kick out Adam and Eve from the garden to say, hey, you've lost something here. You've broken our trust, our good relationship. But God wants it back. He promised them a Savior to bring them back, a Savior from their sin and discipline. God's going to die for them. God's going to do something himself. He's loving, and he wanting back those who've fallen away. If anything, God's not a hard man, he's a soft man, vulnerable, even death on a cross, for us and our salvation. He's not hard, he's holy. He's not hard, he's heavenly. He's a hard-working man. He heaves blessings of salvation graciously through the cross and Jesus and his blood, his gifts, baptism, the Holy Supper, unto you. He graciously does that. He's a hard-working man. He heaves those blessings. And he's even revealed to us our destiny, our future, like we talked about in the children's message today, our resurrection, tomorrow to come. He heaves those blessings. He's hard-working. He wants you to be there with him in heaven. He's a hard-working man. He's not hard. He's a big softy. He loves. He wants you back. He wants you to be with him. Number 4, the fourth misnomer. Interesting one. Interest and investments are evil. That's a misnomer too, isn't it? Investing and getting interest on your money is evil. Some people think that way, don't they? Some people think it comes from the Bible that we should never lend to anybody with interest. It does say that, but you know who it's saying it about? Poor people who can't afford to pay it back. And you make them slaves to you. Well, you couldn't pay it back. Now you owe me. Huh? You owe me your life and everything else, and you're a slave. Don't lend to people who can't afford to pay you back. There is reasonable investing where people can live in a house that they couldn't otherwise buy right now. And that's a good thing. You allow us to live here, and I'll pay you back over time through a reasonable amount of work. But other kind where we say, we'll give you a $1 million loan even though you can't even pay back $25,000, then we'll take it all for ourselves. That's evil. And that's what men do to men through investing. Anything that we can take from God's life in this world, we can make it evil, can't we? Even investments and interest, we can make that evil too. But God's word doesn't say all investments and all interest is evil, just the kind that exploits and hurts our neighbor and doesn't help them. In the parable, this master wanted interest back on that investment that he gave to the one who got the 5 and the 2 and the 1. He wanted interest. So also maybe we can learn as we look at life and don't just say all interest and all investments are evil. It's the love of money that's evil, and it's when we exploit the poor, exploit those who can't pay you back. The other kind of interest is not material, but it's spiritual. God invests in man spiritually so that more fruits of the Spirit can be known and can be returned to God throughout the whole world. So he's given us the great investment, his Spirit, and he hopes that more of the Spirit will spread. The Spirit of joy, kindness, forgiveness, grace, everything, the fruit of the Spirit. God wants more and more of that. So he's invested it in you. Now help it to grow. Help it to grow. Number 5, the last misnomer of our text. Forget Jesus. God judges you for heaven based on your stewardship of your talents. Now, that's one I think we have to think hard about, because this text really is a law text in a lot of ways. And how did you do with your talent and whether or not you entered into the joy? But we could get confused if we don't think of all the scripture here and realize that God isn't just judging you on the stewardship that you've done. No, my friends, the best stewardship in the world is that God sent Jesus to pay the price for your sins. That's the best stewardship in the world. God paid the price himself. He does want something from you, but that's not what he's using to determine whether or not you're worthy for heaven. He wants to know if you're worthy for heaven for one thing. Do you believe in my Son and his forgiveness? Do you believe in God's love and grace that much that you'll go to heaven because you believe in what I did for you? I paid the price for you. That stewardship is best of all. Anything steward that you do, the stewardship that these men should have done too spiritually, is by the Spirit. It's in loving response to what God did for you and what God does in you and God wants to do for others through you. If you invite and let the Spirit help you do those things, like give generously from your own means, to be a steward in that sense, be a good steward of the earth, be good stewards of your treasures. It's in loving response to who God is and what he did for you. It doesn't earn you heaven. It's you do it because he's enabled you and given you gifts that you can show that you love God and show your neighbor God's love. That's why we have stewardship. Not to earn heaven, but to earn another soul for the heavenly kingdom. To help and extend this kingdom through you, because God has chosen you to be his people, to be good stewards. May you trust in the investment that he's given you. Our stewardship is more Christ-like when we forgive others, even their debts, and when we generously give to those who have needs, and make known the kingdom that has no end. Use today's parable, friends, to know that God is not a hard man, but he himself is a good steward. He invested something in you for a purpose. Bring back more for him. Whether it be others for the kingdom or the fruits of grace and forgiveness and peace, depending on your ability and your calling. Don't judge yourself, even in the church, about how much better that person is or what they've done. Find your value, your purpose, your calling in God's word as a good steward. Let Christ dwell in you and work through you and help the whole world. And may God give you the peace knowing that all things are complete in the Son, our Savior, Christ Jesus. He will bring you to the heavenly places. The cross is behind us. Our funerals are behind us. The open tomb is ours. What a great joy. What stewardship we have. What peace beyond all telling. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.